Nigerian police are offering a $300,000 reward for information leading to the rescue of more than 200 girls kidnapped by the Islamic militant group Boko Haram. And Nigerian President Goodluck Jonathan has accepted the U.S. offer of military and security advisors to help with this search. So as the world watches for what happens next, we want to travel from Nigeria, south through Cameroon, through Congo, to the Democratic Republic of Congo, a huge country in the center of the continent where 39 soldiers, government troops, accused of raping at least 135 women and girls in the town of Minova in 2012, now know their fate. Only two of the soldiers were convicted of rape, 13 were cleared, 24 were convicted of theft. Alicia Stokes has been following this story for Global Post. She just returned from the Democratic Republic of Congo, or DRC. Alicia, so what are Congolese people saying about this verdict?
I mean, it's hard to get the temperature for exactly how Congolese feel. The verdict is still sort of making its way throughout the community. The women themselves are not yet aware of the verdict. The women were present during the trial, but they were not present during the verdict because people feared for their emotional well-being. But generally speaking, this is not a great verdict when we look at sexual violence and impunity, both in the Congo and throughout the world.
Yeah, we know that the Congo has a long history. They've been cited for it by the UN just last month. But give us some context. There's been an ongoing conflict there since 1998, the government battling an insurgent group called M23. But why were troops in the village of Minova in 2012?
Well, you know, Congo is a country that's been at war for almost 20 years. There's regional instability, and there are a lot of different rebel groups. The M23 was a rebel group that sprung up about 2 years ago and was in active battle with the Congolese military. And in November of 2012, they actually were successful in taking the provincial capital of Goma, which is where the Congolese military operations were based at the time. And at that time, the military retreated outside, and they came to the small town of Minova, where I suppose under great emotional duress and also the instability, they engaged in violent crimes, namely theft and rape of the local population.
Well, we're reading that the Congolese soldiers told the BBC that they were angry and humiliated that they'd been ordered by their superiors to begin raping women. So first, it sounds as if many were at least admitting to rape. They're just saying they were ordered to do it. What was the defense set forth in the trial?
Half of the accused, about 13 men, were accused under the International Criminal Court Rome Statute, which claims that officers can be held accountable for their subordinates' actions. I imagine in this BBC clip what the men are suggesting is that their officers told them to rape and to pillage. All of those officers, every single one of them, was cleared of that claim.
Well, you mentioned the women were present during the trial. 56 women came forward to testify. You wrote about one of them. She was referred to only as F-64 to conceal her identity. You described the scene in this courtroom when she comes in, her face covered. But she said what?
Well, she basically said that she was raped, that men entered her house during the night, took her objects, took her food, and when she had nothing left to give them, they raped her. And this is actually reporting that's part of a film, and so I encourage people to go and watch the film because she speaks with such courage and such eloquence about what happened to her, about her experience, and about the importance of women standing up for themselves. It's really amazing to see how these women are determined to change the narrative in a country where rape is still heavily stigmatized and considered shameful.
Tell us more about that, because we understand this is the first of its kind trial for the DRC, the first time the government has paid for war-related rape cases to be tried. The American Bar Association was involved. As we said, the UN has admonished the Democratic Republic of Congo for its history of rape with complete impunity. So tell us more about the bravery of these women.
You have to remember that when these women enter this courtroom, it's not like a traditional American courtroom. The lawyers never address them directly. They speak only to the judges. The women are completely cloaked in black cloth to conceal their identity. And the reason for this is because there are real risks to their safety. The American Bar Association estimates that up to 1,000 women may have been raped during this 10-day spree of violence. We're never going to actually know for sure because there's just too much at stake for women to come forward. So when you factor all of those different elements in together, you really have to admire those who who do come forward and who do speak their story.
And what happens to them now? We understand there's a lot of support for the military because of these ongoing battles against insurgent groups. These women came forward, took this risk. Everyone knows where their town is. And yet only two of the soldiers were convicted of rape.
Well, you know, the good news is, if you can say it's good news, is that the vast majority of these soldiers were convicted of something, mostly robbing or pillaging, as it's known as in Congolese law. And so they're all going to prison for 10 years. Those who were convicted of actual rape will go to prison for life. And that means their entire lives, not 25 years, as we see in the American justice system. And so I think that the women will feel some measure of safety and security in that fact. But in general, it's hard for me to imagine that this is going to feel like good news for them. I mean, F-64 says what she really wants more than anything is to be able to walk down the street and see a Congolese soldier and feel that she's being given respect. And this does not feel like a respectful verdict.
Alaysha, it's so interesting because a few countries to the north, we're looking at Nigeria, where it's the rebels who have taken young girls. Here, it's government soldiers accused and convicted of using rape against women and young girls. They seem to be victims of war no matter which side.
Yeah, and I mean, I'd like to point out that rebels in Congo are also guilty of these kind of behavior and activity. It's just harder to hold them accountable because they don't operate within an institutional framework. But in general, and I want to say this isn't just in Africa because, you know, rape happens in America too, but there's an overall neglect for the rights of women and girls that we really need to address. And I think that in staging this trial, in updating their laws, which the Congolese government did in 2006 to create more stringent rules for rape and consequences, that the country really is taking a step forward and that at least should be commended.
Well, and Nigeria may shine a light that spills over into Democratic Republic of Congo.
Yeah, you know, what's happening in Nigeria is so interesting because that's a story that was initially completely neglected and now is becoming very large in the American imagination. And that's a great thing. My hope is that catalyzes movement everywhere and that we don't just say, okay, these are 200 girls and that's enough, because it's not.
Alaysha Stokes, thanks so much.
Thank you.